guys. Thanks for tuning in to episode 57 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer, and you can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S. I'd like to thank returning listeners for tuning in again, and for those of you just listening for the first time, thanks for checking me out. We do have a Ravelry board. It is not very chatty, but we are there and we are very friendly. So if you ever get the inkling to go in and post something, you'll always get a friendly response. So we'd love it if you would join us over there. Let's see. I apologize if for any yawning. It has been a long day. First day after vacation, and you know how that goes. So I will try to keep the yawns at a minimum, or at least pause if I need to. Today we will talk about knitting, because this is a knitting podcast. I will talk about finished objects, of which I have several, works in progress, spinning, enabling. My in the kitchen's not really in the kitchen. I would call it out of the kitchen this week, but I'll talk about that. Little bit about what I'm reading and a lot about what I've been up to. So I'm only a day late with the recording. So I've been sticking to the 2 weeks. I just don't know that I like every 2 weeks. I feel like I end up with so much to say, and I always feel like it's been so long since I recorded. I just don't know if I can stick with a once a week recording schedule during the summer, but I think I'm going to try. Because I just feel like I need to talk more, and I don't want to spend an hour of your time, because I know sometimes it's nice to have just a nice little short podcast to listen to, right? So I'm going to try to get back to once a week. So let's talk about some knitting, why don't we? Finished objects. Okay, let me preface this by saying that I just got back from vacation. I'll talk about that more in detail, but I took with me 4 projects, thinking that would be plenty, and I almost ran out of projects. Crazy, right? So I have 3 finished objects. Let's see, is that right? Yeah, 3 finished objects to talk about. First of those, the first one that I finished, I believe, on the first day of our trip, and that was the 2-lane Highway Rage Socks. This is a paid pattern by Sarah Stevens, and I knit these in Another Crafty Girl Twinkle Sock and Gamut, which is gorgeous, gorgeous, sparkly, beautiful yarn. And I had finished one, and I don't remember when I had started the other one. I think I had started a little bit before my daughter graduated. And then I had made it through the heel turn before graduation. This is why I need to record more often, because I can't remember anything anymore. Anyway, I was on the foot about maybe 5 repeats into the foot before our trip. And that was the first thing that I picked up. And I did alternate a little bit, but I finished it. I believe I finished it on the first day of the trip. And you know, looking at my show notes, and yes, I said I made sure I got the heel done before graduation, and I had done 5 repeats during graduation, so there you go. So like I said, I finished those, and I tried them on while I was knitting them, but I don't think I've actually put on the finished socks. I do still need to weave in the ends on those, but I call them finished. The second finished object was the magnetite hat, which was a new project. I actually cast this on, when did I cast this on? A night or two before our trip, I believe. I started it as just another project to have. I was doing it for the Harry Potter house cup. You know, my memory is so bad. I don't think I cast it on the road, but it's possible that I did. I think I cast it on the night before, and I think I had two rounds done before the trip. I'm not sure about that. Take it with a grain of salt. Maybe I had seven. I don't know. I think I had done part of the brim. Anyway, this hat knit up so fast. Like I said, this was the Magnetite hat, and it's a paid pattern by Lisa Much of Northbound Knitting. And I knit this in the Mrs. Crosby carpet bag in squid ink that I bought when I was in Washington, D.C. in April. And like I said, this knit so fast. I thought for sure that this was going to take me, you know, at least half the trip. It would get me well through the trip. I finished it so quickly. It was pretty much mindless knitting. It's ribbing the whole way up. It just alternates the number of stitches per rib. Like, it starts out with one by one and then goes to something else and then goes to something else. And it was just super mindless. And then once you got past the last ribbing, all of a sudden you're on the decreases. And I could not believe how fast it was. So I finished that. I still have about half of that skein left, and I have another skein. And my intention is to do the Magnetite cowl, which is obviously a very similar pattern. I don't think I've bought it yet, but I intend to. The whole reason I chose that particular pattern was because there was a set. And when I bought the Mrs. Crosby, I had every intention of doing a set with that. So that was my purpose. And I just love the hat. It's just a great little hat. Highly recommend that pattern. Then I also finished the Rose City Rollers. I don't know that I had mentioned these on the podcast before. I know that I had started them before the last podcast, but I think I forgot to mention them. Not 100% sure about that. So Rose City Rollers is a free pattern by Mara Catherine Briner, and Katie, who is Love of You on Instagram, Love of E-W-E, and Katie, K-A-Y-T-E-A, those are her two usernames on Instagram and on Ravelry, and she is the owner of Unassembled Sweaters on Etsy, a bag maker. She is running a knit along on Instagram through June 20th for these particular socks. So if you are on Instagram, you've probably seen these all over the place. And they are the simplest socks. They are super, super quick to knit up. They have a rolled cuff. So all you do is stockinette for an inch or so and then do a heel flap and then the foot and toe, and that's it. It is a really, really quick pattern. And I really, really like the rolled cuff. When I first saw them, before I ever knew that Katie was doing a knit along on these, I just loved that pattern. So I did these in Lion Brand Sockies that I had gotten and dyed a while back. I dyed them with Kool-Aid, and I used, I don't know what the flavors were, grape and ice blue lemonade, I think is the blue one. So there were kind of a turquoise blue and purple, and they turned out pretty well. I was actually pretty pleased with how the yarn knit up. This is the first time I've ever finished a project that I have knit with yarn that I dyed, and I was very pleased with it. The yarn itself, I would probably not buy again. It's pretty scratchy. It kind of, if you have knit with opal or regia, which I haven't knit with, but I'm assuming, but any of those kind of workhorse sock yarns, you know that kind of rough feeling, but this just didn't. The socks that I have that I made with opal have come out with a feeling that I really like the way they feel. These I'm not so keen on. It may be the dye, and once I soak them, maybe I'll feel a little better, but I think they'll be fine when I wear them, but I just don't think that I would buy the yarn again. I do have one more skein. And I have probably about half a skein left, or more even, of this after doing these socks. And then I have another skein that I dyed in orange and yellow that I'll do at some point. But other than that, I don't think I will buy any more. But again, I really like the pattern. There are details about the knit along on the Love of You Ravelry group. Again, that's Love of EWE. And you, if you take, if you make these and just hashtag Rose City Rollers Cal, or Rose City Rollers FO, or Rose City Rollers HO, you'll be entered for a prize. So, if you want a really quick pair of socks, highly recommend these. So those are my three finished objects. And then I have several other projects that I've worked on. I have done 2.5 squares of the sock yarn blanket. I had done one before making my show notes, and then I did one more square last night, again, using, I'm still using the Gnome Acres Marvel mini skein set, and I believe the one I did last night was Quicksilver, and the one I'm halfway done with, I believe, is Black Widow, but I'm not 100% sure. So that, I was knitting on this last night as we were watching Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure because, you know, the 80s, and I finished one square and then started the other one when, with only just a little while left in the movie. And I didn't get as far as I had hoped I would. And it was getting late and I had to work today. So I still have half a square to finish. I've also been working on the clapotee still. This is a free pattern by Kate Gilbert from Knitty back in, probably about 2007. I think I did see that. It's 2007. I'm using blue heron rayon metallic in blue violet, which is stunning. Oh, this yarn is just so amazing. And I am on the decrease section. I finished one plus a few rows today at work, and there's 6 repeats total of the decrease section. Of course, they get smaller as you go. So that one will almost certainly be finished this week. Well, no, it will be finished this week. So I'm really pleased with that. This one has been on the needle since Ravelinix 2014. So I'm really ready to get rid of the, not get rid of this one, to get finished with this one. I will still have a little bit of the rayon metallic left, and I have no idea what I'll use it for because I don't think it will be all that much really. But I'll have to find something to do with it because it's gorgeous yarn. I also worked just a little bit on my Hitofude, and if you don't know, because everyone and their mother has done this yarn, done this pattern, it's a paid pattern by Hiroku Fukatsu, and I am doing this in Miss Babs Katahdin in Ivy's, which is I-V-Y apostrophe S, and I did maybe 3 or 4 rows on it yesterday. Or was it the day before? I think it was the day before. So I did a little bit. I really want to devote some more time to it, but I can't decide when I want to work on this because I have other things I'm working on too. One of these days I will finish that and I will love it very much. I also, the last time I recorded, I had done a little bit on the Yalza Wayette shawl. As I've mentioned in the past, I tend to choose one pattern to devote time to for a week. It doesn't mean I'm not working on other things, but this is the one thing that I know that I'll work on every day. And that was what I, the week before vacation, I did the Yalza Wayette shawl. And I made, let's see, before vacation, I had made it almost, no, wait. I think I made it to the 50% mark. If not, I was 1 ounce away. You need to get to 8 ounces. No, you do it with an 8 ounce ball of Yalza, or that's what it's written for, and you work it till it's 50% done. And you work it until there are 3 ounces left. And I believe, yes, that's where I was. I had reached the 50% mark, so I still need another ounce before I start the edging. And I'll come around to that one in a few weeks. But I'm loving that. It's another mindless knit. That's great. The other one that I have worked on, I worked on the trip, was the downtown cowl. And I forgot to write down who this was by. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. So this one I am doing in my own hand spun. It is, I'm working it in the, Raisin Stitchery Rainbow Connection that I spun up. And I am almost done with it. I ended up having to skip one repeat, and I'm still not sure that I'm going to have enough to do the edging as it is written. This doesn't show me. I'm pulling this up. Give me a minute. Open in Ravelry. There we go. This is a pattern. I don't know if it is free or not. By Christy Becker. Let's see if it's free or... It is a free pattern. So that's the downtown cowl. And it is just a really... It's a pretty simple pattern. It's a long cowl with some yarn overs and some slip stitches. And it's the slip stitches on the edge that I'm not sure that I'm going to have enough yarn for. So I may just have to do a couple of rows of knitting before binding off. But I think I'm pretty happy with it. It's a very, very variegated yarn. But I'm looking at the pattern, the project pictures on here, and there's one that's actually done in yarn that looks very much like what I'm doing it in, although this one is not hand spun. So I think I will like it a lot once it's finished and blocked. And it's so much fun to knit with your hand spun. It just feels so accomplished. Let's go back to my show notes. So those are all of the works in progress that I've worked on, I believe. And I have had to fight myself to not cast on something new. I desperately want to, and I've just got so many things that I want to work on. I'm having so much fun with the things. Why do I want to throw something else into the mix? As I said, I'm already having a hard time with the Heat of Food Aid, trying to find time to actually fit in knitting that with amongst the other things. So I'm not going to, well, no, that's not true. I probably will let myself cast on a pair of socks just because I like to have them in the car, and I finished both pairs that I was working on. So I have a ton of sock yarn, but I have a skein, a perfect pair set. No, that's not there. That is Twist Fiber Studio. OCD set from Mustache Yarn. In the Martian Rainbow that I think I will cast on. I think I'm just going to do a plain vanilla sock. Believe it or not, I have never done just an absolute stockinette all the way to the top. So I think that's what I'm going to do with these and just let the stripes do what they want to do. I'll let you know next time if I did that. So let's talk about spinning. Nothing really exciting. I'm still working on the same thing that I was working on before. I am working on Knitty and Color in Merino Silk. I had mentioned in the last episode that I was not sure if it was Merino Bamboo or Merino Silk. And Jeanette, the bookish stitcher, did let me know that that is Merino Silk, which is what I was beginning, and that's what I suspected. There's a quality to a Merino Bamboo yarn that this didn't have. I'm loving it. Just a few minutes ago before I recorded, I finished bobbin number 2, so I will start bobbin number 3 tomorrow. I am super frustrated right now because I ordered an AcreWorks bobbin a while back. It takes a few weeks for them to ship, so I probably ordered it 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. It shipped, and I checked my tracking today, and it said it was delivered at 5:06 p.m. Now, my husband was home most of the afternoon. He had checked the mail earlier in the day, and we didn't have any mail, so I know that the mail hadn't come early. I got home. It had to have been like 10 after 5. It could not have been any later than that. And there was no package on my doorstep. And I got home and checked. I checked the tracking after I was home and realized that he hadn't gotten the mail yet. And before I went out to check it. I just checked the tracking and it said I was delivered. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe it's flat packed. Maybe it's, you know, small enough. You know, it's a small thing. Maybe it was in the mailbox. No, it was not in the mailbox. So USPS lies. I don't know. My issue is that I know that at like 2 o'clock there wasn't any mail. They say that it was delivered at 5:09 and I got home right around then. So if it was really delivered right then when they said it was, which I did not see the mail truck while I was driving through the neighborhood, but then again I wasn't paying attention. There was not enough time for someone to have stolen it off the stoop. It was either there or it wasn't. I'm hoping they delivered it to the wrong house and someone will see it and bring it to me, or something weird happened. I have let AcreWorks know what happened to see if there's anything they can do to track it further. I'm very frustrated. I'm really, really frustrated about this. So, and of course I saw the customer service link on the Postal Service's website after I had emailed AcreWorks, so I'm going to let them mail me back first, see what they have to say, and if there's something they can do, then I'll mail the post office and see if there's anything we can do. But, oh, it's just so frustrating. Well, hopefully, before I finish the third bobbin, I will have found, you know, that one will have turned up, or I will have a replacement or something. Very frustrating. Now, this is spinning very thin, so it does take me a while to do a bobbin. I can't remember when I started. Well, let's see, I recorded 2 weeks ago and I have my notes on here, or I just copied and pasted from that, and I had done one bobbin and had started the second. So it's been at least 2 weeks with this. Well, granted, I wasn't here for a week. So it will take me, it'll take me a week or two probably to finish this particular bobbin. So hopefully things will be sorted out. If not, I guess I'll have to order one. But I'm just so frustrated, in case you can't tell. So that is that's not the only spinning I did. I did take my spindle with me to, on vacation. And I just remembered that I didn't spin any on my last night of vacation. Sadness. But I did bring my spindle with me and I finished up the fiber that I had started. It's actually been quite a while. I don't think I have spun since sometime in April on my spindle. And this was fiber created by LCB, and I don't actually remember what the content was. But it spun very nicely. It was interesting because I have been spinning on my wheels so much and I haven't spun on the spindle. I was so much better at drafting now than I was. And this spun up very, very nicely. I did bring I did start a second sample after I finished the first one. And I don't remember what it was, but I think it was 100%. Merino? No, it was Shetland. No. It was Falkland. And I don't remember what it was, but it was Lavender Fields by somebody. And I don't remember who the dyer was. But when I finish it, I will talk about that. So that's really all the spinning I've done. Enabling, I don't really have a lot. I did visit a yarn store in Blowing Rock, North Carolina on our vacation. At the recommendation of Carolina Spinner, who is Ashley, and when I had finished project number two on my trip, she joked that maybe I needed to visit a yarn store. So of course I had to fit the yarn store in. I wasn't 100% sure that I would be able to, but we took a day trip to, somewhere fairly close by and decided that we would go in to Blowing Rock and eat and kind of look around, and I would get to go to the yarn store. So that's what I did. the yarn store was nice. They didn't have anything that unique. There was, they had a lot of Dream and Color, which I'm not sure that any of the yarn stores I've gone in have had as much Dream and Color, but I have met with that and I didn't really want that. Although I was really interested. I've talked in the past several podcasts when I was talking about the Newton shawl that I was doing that on Dream and Color Everlasting and they had changed the base. Well, they had Dream and Color Everlasting, so I was able to kind of feel that base and see what it felt like compared to the other, and it actually feels very similar. Maybe a tad bit thicker, but it actually has a very similar feel, which makes me happy because I really like that yarn and I would like to knit with it again. But as I was saying, they didn't have anything that was just, I really would have liked something that was more local or unique to the yarn store, something that I hadn't seen before, and they really didn't have that. So I almost walked out without buying anything. And again, this is nothing bad about the yarn store. It was a nice store and people were nice. But, you know, when sometimes there was just nothing calling out to me. So I almost left. And then at my last little turn around the store, I did notice a very small selection of fiber. So I ended up getting a bump of Mountain Colors BFL top in the Wilderness colorway, which is, I'm not going to be able to describe this without it being in front of me, but it's kind of reds and purples and blues and some really deep, rich colors. And I really enjoy the Mountain Colors BFL that I spun before, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. And that's the only enabling that I have other than my missing Acre Works bobbin. So, let's see. Anything else? Nope, nothing else in enabling. So that is all of the spinning and knitting that I have to talk about. If you are not interested in my food discussion or what I've been up to, then feel free to sign out now and I will not hold any grudges. But for now, I'm going to move into, well, what did I say? Out of the kitchen. Since we are on vacation, obviously I have not been cooking very much. Oh, I will talk about the lasagna I made last night. So, we have weekly IT meetings at work. And I can't believe I'm admitting this. But, so, I may have admitted this in previous podcasts. So, I am on the web team. We're in the IT department. But we don't do typical IT work. Like, we don't do network support. We don't do, you know, troubleshooting. We don't do desktop support, that type of thing. We just work on the website. But these meetings that we have to go to weekly, they go through all of the trouble tickets. And there's never, I think in 3.5 years of being, almost 3.5 years of being in the department, I think there might have been one ticket for me ever. So I pay attention, you know, I hear what the ticket is just to make sure there's nothing I can't, you know, no information that I can provide, and then I spend the rest of the time looking on Pinterest. Yes, I do. So, a couple of weeks ago, I saw a recipe for lasagna, so I just had the hankering to make lasagna. So yesterday, I made lasagna using a recipe, I do not remember what, yes I do, it was the something housewife. I don't remember. I don't remember what it's called, what the website was now, but it was on a blog and it was called The Best Lasagna. And honestly, I have not made enough lasagnas to compare. It was good. It was, let's see. I would guess that it's probably a fairly traditional Italian meat sauce. It was ground beef and ground pork mixed with tomato paste and tomatoes, canned tomatoes, like the whole peeled and crushed tomatoes, and herbs and garlic and, you know, all that good stuff. And then, of course, layered with a ricotta cheese mixture, which was ricotta cheese, Parmesan cheese, eggs, salt, pepper, more garlic. And then, of course, layered between noodles, lasagna noodles. And it turned out really good. I mean, it was lasagna. It tasted like lasagna. I haven't made that many lasagna, so I can't compare. It was probably one of the better ones I've made. I don't really order lasagna in restaurants very often because I am afraid that there could be onions and I don't want to waste my money eating something that I'm, or buying something that I ultimately I'm not going to eat if it does have onions in it. So I don't really have a lot to compare to, but it was pretty tasty. We also did some garlic bread to go along with it, and I found a recipe for garlic butter on all recipes. I just did a Google search for garlic butter, and it was butter and minced garlic and garlic salt and called for Italian seasoning, but I put a little bit of basil and oregano and then Parmesan cheese, and you just mix that all together and spread it on the bread, and it was delicious. The only thing I would change about that is perhaps use a little less garlic salt because it was kind of salty, but it was really good. So those are the only two things I've really cooked that are worth talking about. So let's talk about where we ate while we were gone. So I can kind of talk about our vacation a little bit here too. So why don't I mix that in with what I'm doing, what I've been up to. So as I've mentioned, we went on vacation. It wasn't really vacation. We went to North Carolina to take my daughter to college orientation at Appalachian State. And we added a day to the trip so that we could make it a little mini vacation. But on the way up, we drove from Houston to Birmingham, Alabama, and stayed the night there and had dinner with my father and his girlfriend, who I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but my father started dating a woman that he dated when I was in middle school. I guess they've been dating a little less than a year. And she was there for, I guess they reconnected after my stepmother died, and she was very supportive, and they have ended up dating very seriously. And like I said, this was a woman that he dated when I was in middle school, and this was the first time I had seen her since probably, I'm gonna guess 86 or 87. I can't remember if they stopped dating when I was a freshman or a sophomore in high school. But it's been about 30 years since I saw her. So we got to reconnect, and that was really nice. She is just such a nice woman. I very much enjoyed our dinner, and it was just so nice to see my father happy. But we went to dinner. We tried to go to a couple of places. We got in, it was probably around 7 when we went to eat. It was probably about 7 on a Saturday night in an urban area. So, of course, it was very busy. We tried to go to P.F. Chang's, and the wait was probably 45 minutes to an hour. We decided not to do that. So we went across the street to a Chewy's, which is funny because it's one of our favorite restaurants here. And the wait was even longer, and it was crazy. There were people fighting over parking spots, so that wasn't going to work. So we just said, we're willing to drive, just find us a place to eat. And they ended up going, same shopping center, to another place that was not as, it wasn't as popular. It was called Village Tavern. And I looked it up on the web, and there are locations basically along the southeast. There are several in North Carolina, so I'm guessing that it originally started in North Carolina. A couple in Florida, a couple in Georgia, I believe. And we really liked this place. I wish there was one in Houston. Well, no, I don't, because we would end up going and it would lose the allure. But it was a little pricey, but not ridiculously pricey. Had a hard time deciding what I wanted. But I ended up going with shrimp and grits, which I've actually never ordered in a restaurant. I, some recipes for shrimp and grits involve onions and peppers, which neither of those things am I going to do. But I read the description and I looked at everything on the menu, and they seemed to be very descriptive about what was included. Like, there were things that specifically said they had caramelized onions or had onions, and this one said it had green onions, so I was fairly confident that it didn't, and I was right. And the waitress was really good, and she actually asked when we ordered if, you know, if the green onions were okay without me specifying that I had an issue with onions. So I was very pleased with that. But this was amazing. It was shrimp and cheese grits, and I think it had mushrooms too. And it was, there's used to be a show on the Food Network, I don't know if there still is, called The Best Thing I Ever Ate or something along those lines. This was up there. This was one of my favorite things. I will think about this and dream about this food. And luckily it's in Birmingham, which we will go through on occasion. And I hope to eat this again. Really, really good. So the kids, I think Eli had a club sandwich, and I think Laura and Jimmy maybe both had burgers. I can't actually remember what Laura had. I think Jimmy had a burger with pimento cheese on it, and he really liked it. My dad also had the shrimp and grits and really liked it. And Sarah, his girlfriend, had chicken marsala, which looked delicious. This place is a winner for sure, and it wasn't super busy. So, definite winner. So, that was the day we left, and then we got up the next day and drove the rest of the way to Boone, North Carolina, which is where Appalachian State is. We stopped in Kingsport, Tennessee along the way. That's where my husband's family is from and where his mother is buried. And she died about 22 years ago, about 6 months before we got married. And we actually had not been back to the graveyard since she was buried. So we decided that we would stop and take a look, and were able to find, we found the headstone for her parents, but we couldn't find a headstone for her. And it turns out Jimmy called his brother, and that we think they were, Jimmy and his brother were both very young. They were early to mid 20s when she died. They were very young. There was a lot of financial stuff, and we think that they probably just never paid for the headstone. So that's something that they're going to do. But we did find the general area, and Jimmy's been doing some genealogy stuff and saw names that we recognized from that. So that was kind of cool. A little emotional, but it was the right thing to do, to stop. And after that, we drove from Kingsport to Boone, which is a little more than an hour, through windy mountain roads, which I will not drive on. I'm terrified of them. And we drove through Boone, but then we were staying in West Jefferson, which is about 30 minutes away, at a friend's house. A friend of ours' mother has a house in West Jefferson and a house in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and she alternates between the two, and she rents them both out when she's not there. And she was actually kind enough to let us stay for free with just a cleaning fee. And so even though it was 30 minutes away, it was worth it. For 4 nights, we went. So we stayed there. It was a really nice house. If I'm going to give a plug, because she was so wonderful, her house on VRBO is Marian Manor, Marian. And this is in West Jefferson, North Carolina. And I think it typically goes for like $145 per night. And it's 2 bedrooms plus there's a washroom that has an extra bed in it, plus a pull-out couch. It's 2 stories. It's in a quiet neighborhood. It's well-equipped. The kitchen is just well-equipped. It's very quiet. There are lots of birds. There were fireflies. It was just such a restful place. We just had a really nice stay there. So I'm throwing that out there in case anyone is ever in the area and is looking for a place to stay. Highly recommend Marian Manor. let's see. We didn't really have any super fantastic meals there. We went and got pizza one night. We went to a pub another night. Both of them were okay, but they weren't nothing to write home about. On the day after we got there, we went to orientation, which was boring. You know, it was typical college stuff. But we did eat lunch on the second day we were there at a place called Our Daily Bread in Boone that had really good sandwiches and soups. And I ended up getting a smoked ham and apple press, which was a panini with smoked ham, cheddar cheese, and thinly sliced apples on sourdough. And it was really good. Really enjoyed that. I don't remember if I had chips or what. Oh, no, I had soup on the side. It was tomato basil, which was all the tomato basil soups that I've ever had are the creamy tomato basil, kind of like a bisque. And this was not. It was more like a tomato sauce. No, that's not quite right. It was very liquidy with tomato and basil, and it was really good, but it was not what I was expecting. But that's what we had there. Then that day we went hiking. We went after this orientation was over pretty early, so we drove back to West Jefferson with some friends of ours, Laura's future roommate and her dad, and went to Mount Jefferson, which is a mountain in West Jefferson, and hiked up there, and it was a really nice hike. I think we hiked about 2.5 miles, maybe a little more than that, on the ridge. You drive all the way up, and the hikes are along the ridge. It was not a super strenuous, but it was definitely an effort, especially considering how inactive we have been lately. It was really nice, beautiful views. So we did that, and that was the night we ate at a pub. And then the next day, we drove to Linville Falls, which is a little more than an hour away from where we were staying. And it was for me, it was a pretty short hike, maybe half a mile, maybe a mile, I think about a mile total, because we did, it was about half a mile in, half a mile out to where the falls were, and I just sat and watched the falls. It was really relaxing. Well, Jimmy and the kids decided they were going to hike further up to the top of the fall. Well, they weren't actually at the top of the falls. It was at the top. It was like an overlook that looked over the falls that was much further up. I think it was about a third of a mile further, third of a mile, quarter, a little less than half a mile maybe. And that to me, so it was a really strenuous hike. I was really glad I hadn't done it. Ever since I fell last summer and twisted my ankle, I mean, I've never been sure-footed. I'm really, really uneasy on really rocky areas now. So I'm glad I did not do that. I did get a picture of them. You can see just like the little dots of them up at the top once they were there. And that was another nice hike. And after that, that's when we went to Blowing Rock, and I mentioned the yarn store already. And we went to eat at a place called Town Tavern. And it was just a tavern, and all of our food was absolutely delicious though. Jimmy got fish and chips. I don't remember. I think Laura got a Philly cheese, and she said it was good. I don't think she told me very much about it. But I got potato skins, standard appetizer fare. And Eli got jalapeno poppers, also standard appetizer fare. But these were, in both cases, the best I'd ever had. The potato skins were clearly not frozen. They had made them fresh. The bacon on top was fresh, freshly fried. And they were delicious. And then the jalapeno poppers were filled with, I'm not sure what all was filling them, but I saw, I think, black beans and corn and cheese. And Eli said that the batter coating had bacon. And I had a couple of them, and they were really, really good. So we happened upon this place and were very pleased with that. So if you're ever in Blowing Rock, North Carolina, I would recommend Town Tavern. The next day we drove back. We drove all the way from West Jefferson to Vicksburg, Mississippi. And then the next day, we went to the Vicksburg National Military Park, which is a Civil War site. And this is probably the fourth or fifth time I've been there. I remember going once when I was pretty little, like early to middle elementary school. Once when I was in middle school. I might have gone, at least gone through once when my brother was living in Vicksburg. And then Laura and I went a few years ago on our way to Mississippi, or to my mom's house in Mississippi. And then this was the first time Jimmy and Eli had gone. And there's just something about this place. It is a very, very well-preserved historic site. Much of the land has been untouched since the Civil War. There is, of course, the road that goes through, and there are buildings that have been preserved and that type of thing, and there's signage and stuff like that. But as far as the terrain, you can still see trenches that were built. I mean, they were, of course, you know, shallow and grown over, but you can still see where the soldiers had made trenches. There's just a very, for a place that saw such horrors, it is a very peaceful place. And honestly, it's one of my favorite places. I don't know what it is about it, but I really enjoy going there. One of these days, I would love to go and do one of the driving tours. And I believe that the first time we went when I was little, we did that. And of course, when I'm like 8 or 9 years old, that was horrible. But as an adult, I think I would really like to do that. I don't know when I would ever get the chance, because Vicksburg was not our favorite place. But that, after the next day, we drove home and nothing exciting. But overall, it was a really good trip. Let's see. Did I cover all of the... That's pretty much it. And that's all of the food stuff I had written. I did want to talk a little bit about what I'm reading. I had started, I believe, or just barely started, Tears of the Desert, a memoir of survival in Darfur by Halima Bashir, the last time I recorded. And I finished this yesterday, I believe. And, oh gosh, this book was really hard. It was, as far as the writing goes, it was very simplistic, but it was just horrific. It was genocide and rape and torture, and this woman's, she had had a very idyllic childhood, and then the war broke out, and her life just kind of went to hell. It was really awful. There were parts of it that were very hard to read. If you are interested in that type of thing, I do recommend the book. I recommend it with reservations, because there is very graphic violence. So if you're very easily upset by that type of thing, I wouldn't recommend it. If you can accept it as part of history and understanding what people go through, then I would recommend reading it. I started it last night, but really I started it this morning because I probably fell asleep after a page or two. But I started Ostrich Boys by, let me see if I can tell you who that was by. Give me one moment. It was Kevin somebody, I believe. No. By Keith Gray. And this is a young adult novel. And I am probably about 20% through with it. So, sorry, the hiccups. Like I said, I started it today. And there are three boys who are the main character. Well, there's one boy who's the main character and his two cronies. And their fourth friend has died. He died and he was hit. He was riding his bike and was hit and was killed. And they take his ashes. They decide that they want to give him a proper funeral. And the boy's name was Ross, and they go to a place named Ross, or they are headed to a place called Ross in Scotland, where they are going to do something with his ashes. I'm not that far into it yet, but it is so far a pretty good book. It got really good reviews on Next Reads, and I will let you know what I think about it probably next time, because I suspect this will be a really quick read. So, 50 minutes in, this is the end. So, I don't really have anything else to say. Thanks for sticking with me, and thanks to all of you who continue to come back and listen. So, I will leave you with, whether you're stitching or whether you're in the kitchen, I hope you are enjoying what you like to do. Thanks. Goodbye.